All right, guys, we want to welcome you back here to Simple Faith Baptist Church, where the Bible changes us. We do not change the Bible. Brother Carlos here, we thank you for your grace and patience. Started a little late this afternoon, but here we are. Thank God we made it, and so we sure appreciate your guys' attention. Do me a favor now. Let's go ahead and open up in our Bibles to the book of... Let's go ahead and turn our Bibles to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter 5, this is going to be part 3 of our Sunday school series of teaching you what the Bible says, how we have been taken from darkness to light. This is going to be part 3 of our series, From Darkness to Light. Ephesians chapter 5, today's Sunday school is going to be a little shorter, obviously. We started late, so we can continue with the order of our service. And so with that said, I appreciate you guys getting back into the groove with us. Hopefully you have a Bible in your hand and following along with us. Ephesians chapter 5, we are going to pick up together. We're going to pray, and we will start in verse number 8. Ephesians 5, verse 8, let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for allowing us to gather once again in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It sure is a blessing to see those who were able to come back to church here, and it's good to see, Father, some old members coming back to visit us. Father, I just pray that you would now fill us with your Holy Spirit. Remove from us any distraction from our flesh and our mind from anything that is going to hinder our love for Jesus and our love one for another, God. Please forgive me of any sin or sins which I've committed against your Spirit and others within my heart. And please, God, remove me out of your way. I just want to be a vessel through whom your Spirit can minister to the hearers this afternoon. We pray for a good rest of our day in service. We thank you ahead of time for those that will still be on their way for the main service. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. What do we say, church? Amen. Okay, Ephesians 5, verse 8. Let's read together, starting in verse number... let's go ahead and start together in verse number 1 to get us some good, rich context of the Holy Spirit contrasting you and I as saved children of God with those who are unbelievers, that is, non-Christians, who the Bible describes as children of disobedience or children of wrath. Start with me now in verse 1. The Bible says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." So today, I hope that was your intent when you came to church. I hope you came here to be a follower of God, because the moment that you begin to follow a man, you will be disappointed, because a man will always come short of the glory of God. So today, friend, Jesus Christ, he's the head of this church, this local assembly, so come for God and be a follower. Now listen, walk in love, the Bible says, as Christ also loved us. So that's the way you can be a dear children of God in your conduct, and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. We thank God for the sacrifice of Christ and the resurrection. Now listen, verse 3. As a child of God now, but fornication, that's sexual misconduct out of marriage, and all uncleanness, perhaps, if you will, partaking in things that are unclean, watching pornography, or doing any of those things that are unclean within your physical body, your mental body, if you will. Covetousness, those are desiring things that don't belong to you, or idolatry. Let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. So God saved your soul when you trusted the gospel. God does not want you to continue to live anymore like you used to live, or like the unbelievers live around you who do those type of things. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. So even your speech, God wants for you to correct your speech now and begin to improve that. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. And so one day when the spiritual kingdom of God, of which you and I are made a part of right now, when we become a Christian, we have access into the spiritual kingdom of God, where we can act like Jesus, we can think like Jesus, we can forgive like Jesus, we can love like Jesus, we can obey the commands of the Father like Jesus. That's right now our inheritance, by which you and I can receive and do more of if we desire to. The Bible says that when you and I disobey the commands of Jesus Christ, the Word of God found in the New Testament as a Christian, when you go to heaven and you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, you're going to lose the reward of your inheritance because of your willful choice of wanting to act as a child of the devil versus a child of God. And so today, just know the two things of your inheritance. Number one, right now, you have access to act like Christ right now, the glory of God in you, which is Christ in you. You can act like Christ. You can be like Christ in essence, in your nature, if you let the new man have the way, not the old man. And number two, the reward of your inheritance in heaven is conditional based upon your obedience. So just know that the more that you give into your flesh and the world, you're losing inheritance. So no wonder that right now, as an individual, you're not gracious in your speech. You're not as obedient, if you will, in your walk with God. You're not as motivated spiritually in your local church because you're not allowing the Holy Ghost to help you in that inheritance. But then number two, you're going to face the consequences at the judgment seat of Christ. So friend, just be aware of that. Now listen, verse 6, let no man deceive you with vain words. Holy Spirit warns you, Christian, don't let someone at your school talk you out of not reading your Bible. Don't let someone at school talk you out of not going to church and being a faithful Christian in your conduct, the way you dress, the way you talk, the way you walk. And then other Christians, don't let other believers deceive you into trying to teach you or train you or influence you with not acting like Christ in any other shape or form. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. So yes, my friend, there should be a separation between you and an unbeliever as it pertains to the way you live your life. In other words, obviously, we all have unbelieving family members and friends. We love them. We care for them. We have dinner with them. We have lunch with them. We take them out to breakfast because we're trying to demonstrate Christ to them in our charity. We know that. But when they begin to partake in sin or do things that are evil and contrary, by which the wrath of God is going to come upon them, you know what God commanded you to do? Do not be a partaker with them in that thing. Separate yourself from them when they are going to practice sin so that way it doesn't influence your life and your walk with God. And so what does that look like for some of you who have friends at school? They start vaping. They start smoking behind the back. They're in the bathroom doing something they shouldn't do. You get out of there. Or if you're surrounded by your unbelieving family members and friends and by their way of living and their conduct, it begins to influence your spirit. You know what? I'm just going to hang out over here more than church. You know what? I'm not going to be as invested with the Lord over here, over there, because I'm hanging out with my family members and friends. You may not even be sinning with him, but just by the contrast of being in obedience to being active in your faith, you're already messing up. You're partaking with darkness. So listen now, look at verse number 8. For you are sometimes darkness. So what does God call the spiritual position of unbelievers? They are in darkness, and then you became a Christian after you trusted the gospel. You are light. So now listen, they're called children of disobedience. You once were a child of disobedience, but then you repented and trusted Christ as your Savior. You are forgiven, and now you are a child of forgiveness. Now listen, verse 8, you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. So there should be a difference. There should be a physical, obvious, manifest difference between the children of this world and the children that are not of this world. It could be as simple as the way you communicate. It could be as simple as the way you dress. It could be as simple as how you spend your time and your monies and your efforts and your personality. There should be some visible change in which outwardly there is light stemming from you if you're in Christ, obviously, because darkness is all around us. We know clearly where the influence of the devil is. So listen, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. If you just want to ask yourself a quick test question, how do I know if what I'm about to do is good for me as a child of light? Just ask yourself, is it good before the sight of God? Is it righteous before the sight of God? And is it according to the truth of the Word of God? Obviously, that's how you're going to filter it. And then if you find the answer to no to any of those things, then you should not do it. You should not partake with any of those individuals or people out there, even if they're your family members and your friends. Now listen, for the fruit of the Spirit, and there you have it, verse number 10, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. So every single one of you today, John, Gibby, my wife, Sister Joaquina, Brother Giovanni, Diego, and Eileen, all of you have the responsibility to prove if what you are doing is acceptable with Jesus. In other words, if your friends invite you to do something, your family members invite you to do something, your coworkers invite you to do something, a Christian says, it's okay to do this, what do you do? Hey, friend, before I do, give me a little bit. I'm just going to make sure that it's okay with Jesus. I'm going to study my Bible, and I'm going to make sure that I can do this because I don't want to walk in disobedience to my God. The Bible says I'm supposed to be light. Now, my bad if I've already given into it in the past. My bad if I've cursed a little bit with you before. My bad if I joked around with you before and watching things I shouldn't, rated our movies and listening to profanity and nudity and wickedness. My bad. But I'm starting to make an effort right now moving forward. I need to make sure that this is okay with my God. Every single one of us are commanded to prove if what they are doing is okay for us. And obviously, 99% of the time, it's not. And so what does God say? Separate yourself. Put a division between you and them so that way you don't become defiled by their conduct. Now listen, verse number 11. Have no what? Fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. So listen, God told you right here, right now, you and I are to call it out and we are to expose that and say, hey, that's a wicked thing. That's the wrong thing. We shouldn't do that thing. Now, we love that individual. We're praying for the salvation of that individual. But what are we exposing and what are we reproving? We are exposing and we are reproving the works of that individual. Why? Because according to God, they are unfruitful. According to God, they are darkness. And so you are no longer in that positionally. And so practically and socially, you should not practice that. So hope you guys are focusing. Now listen, verse number 12. It is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. So that's what God told you to do. A long time ago, the way you used to live, notice you did those things in secret when no one can see and no one can find you. But obviously God saw, and so now we shouldn't do that. Now listen, verse 13. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light, and so on and so forth. So now what am I trying to talk about? God took you from darkness to light. Acts 26:18. You are no longer underneath the power of Satan, but under God. Acts 26:18. You've been given an inheritance. Now you have access to God through Jesus. Right now you have a new nature. You can completely live as much as you want to live as Christ right now, as a male, as a female, in holiness, in righteousness, and in truth. It's up to you. And so now when you go back into the world of darkness, whether it's the family members over there, the friends over here, the coworkers over there, you already know now. You can begin to filter out, hey, that's darkness over there. Hey, that's some works of unrighteousness. I should not partake with them. Why? Because my God said right here. I should rather reprove that and say, man, that's not good for me to do because I used to do that and I was ashamed. Hey, God, help me out here. I want to walk in light. I want to abide in the light. Amen. Look with me now in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, point number 2 of darkness to light in our part 3 of our series. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. Look with me now in verse number 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 4. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. They that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, for an helmet and the hope of salvation. So once again, real practical separation of division between an unbeliever and a believer. The unbeliever is still in darkness. That's why they enjoy the works that they do in secret. You once were one of them. You know what that is. You don't want to do them anymore. Why? Because you're of the light. What are they doing? Sleeping. You're supposed to be walking even though it's nighttime. You understand? So let's continue to walk as children of light. A couple more places before we close. Short time today, short time. 1 Peter chapter 1. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, 1 Peter chapter 2. Katie, do you mind just reopening up that door, please? I appreciate that. And if you can open up the windows too. Thank you so much. 1 Peter chapter 2. Read with me now in verse number 5. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 5. The Bible says, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Now notice, two times we just read today, there's a way that you can prove what is acceptable to God. You can do that. My question to you is, do you care? Do you care about what is acceptable to Jesus, or do you not care? Do you want to continue to live life in this world of darkness, knowing that ultimately, end of the day, there's shame and there's no benefit in eternity? Or do you want to take the time to show your appreciation for the living God who came down here to die for your sins on that cross and rose from the dead, so that way you can be careful with how you should treat your body and be careful with what how you should present your body to the world and be careful with where you spend your mind time and your financial time? You can prove what is acceptable. But ultimately, between us and God, the only way that we will be accepted is through Jesus Christ. You got to trust him by faith to be saved. Now listen, verse number 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into what? His marvelous light. I have a question for you. Are you shining the light of Christ? Are you letting Christ shine his light through you? Or is it dim? Are you covering your light? Are you covering it with your clothing preference? Are you covering it with your communication preference? You still want to curse over here. You still want to say bad words over there. You still want to hang out with time and spend your time in vanity and vain things by whistling Dixie with friends over here that literally have nothing to do with God or your Christian faith. They're too busy playing video games over here. They're too busy just sitting down, wasting time over here doing drugs. They're just too busy hanging out and doing nothing beneficial for the Lord. My question to you is, are you showing forth to the world that I have been redeemed by the living God of heaven and earth? There should be an outward manifestation of that. There should be an outward demonstration of that. There should be works that follow your profession. According to the Holy Ghost, you should show forth. A couple of more and we're going to close. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. Do me a favor. Turn with me there. 1 John 1. Let's read together, starting in verse number 3. Here's some great material on the heart of evangelism. This is our heart that we had yesterday when we went out soul winning, my wife and I, and then eventually the Navarros joined us at the beach. It was a huge blessing. But this is what we are trying to offer sinners, whether they're in the park, whether in the door-to-door, or whether in public places. We are trying to just simply tell them one thing. We have a relationship with the Creator of the universe, and it's joyful to be in this relationship. We want you to partake in that. We want you to know that you can have joy in Jesus that drugs cannot give you, family cannot give you, government cannot give you, politics cannot give you, drugs cannot give you. We are just trying to declare unto you that right now you can have joy in knowing the Creator. Now listen, verse number 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. There's the doctrine of the Trinity. You got to believe in that Godhead. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. So according to God, three times now, these things are written unto you so that way you can know how to walk as a child of light, how to walk as a child of God, how you can live a separate life from darkness, living in the light that Christ redeemed you to enjoy and to show forth the praises of him. But notice, so your joy can be full. So today, another question I just want to ask you. Are you a happy Christian today? Do you find all of your joy from Jesus, the invisible man? Do you find all your joy in Jesus, this invisible faith, just simply by reading this little book every single day that you have access to? Or are you discontent because you still want a little family over here, a little party over there, a little friend over here, a little bad word over here, a little nakedness to see, a little cursing of the hearing through your songs and movies and videos? Do you still enjoy a little bit of darkness? I'm just telling you, friend, what did the Holy Ghost tell you? Don't let no one deceive you with vain words. And don't deceive yourself trying to convince yourself this is okay. I'm happy. You're not. That's flesh happiness. That's not spiritual happiness. According to God, when you read the Word and you fellowship with Jesus, you can have a joy that satisfies. Now listen, verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, now listen, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. So how can you maintain what? Fellowship with God when you are walking in the light. What happens when you walk in darkness? What happens when you want to walk like you used to before you became a Christian? What happens if you want to go back to living like your friends who are not Christians and your family members that are not Christians? What happens if you want to entertain and then you do those things that ungodly non-Christians do? You know what the Bible just said? Your fellowship with God is hindered. You will not have fellowship with him when you walk in darkness. Your fellowship is stumbled. There's something blocking you and God and communication. What is that? That's your willful sin and rebellion against the light. So how do you want to maintain fellowship with God? Walk in the light. I don't care about the darkness. I don't care if they're family members or friends or adopted family members or friends. I don't care who they are, how much money they have, or what offers of riches of this earth they offer me. If it's not based on Jesus Christ and the Holy Bible and doing something productive for the Word of God for eternity to come, that's all right. They can leave it out there. In here, this is what it's going to be all about. And I got joy. But most importantly, I have fellowship with my God. Now listen, don't let your spouse hold you back, your father or your mother hold you back, your school, your government. Don't let nothing or yourself hinder you from maintaining fellowship with God because of walking in darkness. Now listen, verse number 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He is just to say, I forgive you, son and daughter, for that thing you messed up again. But how do you maintain fellowship with him? You have to abide in the light. You have to walk in the light. And last verse for today. Go with me to 1 John chapter 2. Just one chapter to the right, and we're going to close here. Just one couple more minutes, and we'll close. Look with me now, 1 John chapter 2, verse number 4. How many say that you would be... How many say that you're a Christian today? Raise your hand. How many of you guys are unashamed to publicly profess before someone else that I believe in Jesus Christ, that he's God, died for my sins, rose again? Okay, now listen. There's a lot that you need to think about the next time that you profess that before somebody, and especially before the living God. Are you ready now? Listen, verse 4. He that saith, I know him. You just raised your hand. And keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him, you just said that, ought himself also to walk even as he walked. Do you see that, friend? Do you see how your profession now is a lot more serious? Look at verse number 8. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. You said you're a Christian. You don't have to raise your hand for this next question, but how many of you guys don't like another Christian on this planet? You don't have to raise your hand. How many of you guys find it difficult to love a brother and sister in Christ? You don't have to raise your hand. You know what the Bible says? You're a liar that you say you know him. Don't. I'm not judging you. This is the Holy Bible reading. Look at verse number 9. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in what? In darkness, even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. Now I'm going to leave it there for today. In the end of the day, notice, it's a lot more serious to be a child of light. It's easy to be a child of darkness. Why? Because we can hate people all day long. There's no judgment in darkness. It's all darkness out there. No one is going to call you out to say, you're a murderer in the eyes of God because you hate somebody. But now in the light, you know the one who abided in the light in eternity, came down, veiled in flesh, died for your sins, rose again. The one that you say you believed in, the one that you claimed is your Savior, the one you say, I abide in him. But you hate somebody in your heart, daughter and son. According to the Holy Spirit of God, we abide in darkness and not in light when we hate somebody in our heart. We're not talking about how much Bible we know. We're just talking about practical stuff here. Can I just love somebody like Christ loves him? So now listen, he that saith he knows him, you ought to walk like him. And I'll just leave you with this. When Jesus Christ walked on this earth, he loved sinners to go to the cross. He loved Peter, who denied him 3 times. He loved Judas, who betrayed him with a kiss. He loved all the apostles, all the disciples. He even loved the centurion who perhaps pierced him on the side. Why? That's the light of God's love. So today, what I want to leave you with, who should be your example today when you wake up? God. Ephesians 5, as dear children, walk after the example of Christ. Walk after God's example, not man's example, not a commentary's example, not Brother Carlos, because I come short. I'm not the Lord. You're not the Lord. Jesus is. So if we want to abide in the light, and we want to maintain fellowship with our living God through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, simple thing. One, here's darkness, and it starts right here in the heart. Two, here's light, and it starts right here in the heart. I can choose to abide over here by loving people, or I can choose to abide over here by hating people. Can Jesus help you with that? Yes, He can, but do you want Him to help you? Or you can take control and say, Lord, I got this feeling right now, but man, I remember what your Bible says. I am proving what's acceptable. I know that that thought against that brother or sister, I know that's not. So Lord, forgive me. Help me to love them in Jesus' name. And then you choose to love them. You're going to abide in light. Amen? Let's close. Father, we thank you for the Sunday school message, Lord. It sure is a little quick nugget, but powerful, Lord, because this Bible is a double-edged sword. Lord, forgive me when I choose to hate Christians in my heart because of offenses, faults, because of things they've done against me in the past or in the flesh. Lord, I know that that's a part of the old nature. Lord, you've called me out of darkness, the Bible says, to show forth the praises of your glory in the light. Lord, I know that I don't reflect you when I hate Christians. I know I don't reflect you when I don't have a good will, intent, and desire to do good to my neighbor, to my church friends, to all those around me. God, would you strengthen us now? Would you empower us with more Holy Spirit power to abide in the light and to desire the light and to forsake darkness? It's a shame, your Bible says. Help us not to be shameful today before you in our hearts when we entertain those things. We thank you, God, for the help you're going to give us now so we can move forward in the fellowship with you in the light. In Jesus' name, what do we say, church? Amen. Amen, church. Love you. Let's take a quick break, and then we will continue with our main service. May the Lord bless you, friends. Amen.